Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, very sensitive topic to start on Liveline today, young ears, etc. Please be cognizant that we're going to be talking for a while on Liveline about the rape of a young woman. It's widely reported nationally and indeed in the local papers in Kerry. A 26-year-old man named Conor McQuaid of Monaree in Dingle pleaded not guilty, but he was convicted by a jury on a majority verdict of raping a young woman, which occurred in June 2018. Now, we've had extensive communication from the young woman's family. Obviously, they want we have to protect the identity of the young woman, but we've had extensive communication and conversations with them. And I just paraphrase of a number of elements that they're upset about. But they were very upset when they went to the four courts or the criminal courts in Dublin for sentencing. They were very upset when a number of character witnesses, a number of testimonials in support of this rapist were handed to the court, and they were glowing references, and the family are very, very upset about this, and we'll go into them in more detail as we proceed. But Vera O'Leary is director of the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre. Vera, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joan. Good afternoon to your listeners.
And you're familiar with this?
Yes, it's in the front of the paper, and I'm familiar with the case as well.
And what do you think of this whole issue of testimonials? Are they common now in rape cases that people submit character references for the assailant?
Yeah, they've always been part of it, but my understanding was in the latter years that organisations and individuals had a little bit more common sense and realised the impact of giving those references to the court, the impact on the victim and the re-traumatisation. So it's been a while. I think the last maybe high profile would have been back about maybe 4 years ago when two well-known members of the GA had given a reference to somebody who was found guilty of child abuse. But they seem to have fallen off then for the last couple of years, Joe. So again, I think it was more my surprise that this has kind of raised its ugly head again. But maybe it's quite opportune because there is a lot happening at the moment at a government level with the Department of Justice around supporting a victim's journey for victims of sexual violence. So hopefully we can now maybe make a submission through the Rape Crisis Network Ireland to the minister, who's very open to submissions under the O'Malley Review, and that some guidelines can be put in place for this.
And our understanding is that there was quite a few testimonials in support of this man.
I believe so, but I think what saddens me, Joe, is that in all of this, I just wondered, did any of those individuals or organisations take into account the impact that their words were going to have on the victim and the re-traumatisation for her? And usually when a sentencing is happening, a victim is allowed I submit a victim impact statement. Mm. There are very clear guidelines for that statement and how it can be submitted and what information can go into it. And it has to be very specific to the impact of the actual assault. So the victim isn't allowed to put in anything that would show, and they have no voice a lot of the time in the court, as you would know and your listeners would know, when they're victims of sexual violence. And when they're submitting the victim impact statement, because we would help quite a lot of the victims with their statements here, it's like it's just, as I said, the impact of the assault. But yet, somebody who is actually found guilty by a jury of his peers is allowed to have character references there that show his character prior to the assault. So it beggars belief, Joe, what impact they believe this could have on the court. And the judge, Geraghty, in this case, fortunately did not take that into account and passed a sentence that reflected the seriousness of his crime.
But Vera, to be clear, the purpose of these testimonials is to try and reduce the punishment, isn't it?
It is. It's to try try and impact on the judge's decision. But very clearly, it didn't impact.
So there were eight testimonials, and a number of individuals in Dingle were identified as writing these, and we'll come back to them in a sec. But I just let us read out the letter, or part of the letter indeed, and communication that we received from the relatives of the victim.
Dear Joe, I wish to remain anonymous, but I do wish to speak about the rape case that is all over the papers. The rapist expressed no remorse. It was very difficult for us to come forward in a small town. It has been a very tough few years. We went to Dublin on Thursday for the sentencing. We thought that it would be an impact statement and a few references from the prison. We were very upset and appalled to hear two prominent businessmen from the town had lodged glowing references to try and reduce the sentence of the convicted rapist that shows no remorse. It is well known in the town that we have had an awful time coping the last few years. A local publican has said he is the best employee ever. I'm getting panic attacks, knowing that people who support the rapist publicly are living so close to me. I believe in this day and age that the local big boys club should not be allowed to lodge testimonials in court.
Now that is a pretty devastating... that is a pretty devastated family, and that is a pretty devastating message to the people who wrote, and they're all written, so they were considered testimonials for this man who was a convicted rapist.
And, you know, Joe, I think, you know, there's a very valid point that's made in that, you know, why an individual you have no control of, but somebody who is a figure in an organisation writing it, but yet said they're doing it as an individual, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't really cut any mustard. And I think what needs to happen is that organisations need to have a very clear policy that anybody in any position of influence within that organisation cannot write a character reference for somebody who's accused of a crime. So it needs to be very clear. And I suppose we also here in the centre provide quite a lot of training, and I'm offering to any organisation in Kerry mm-hmm. that we will provide them with training on sensitivity and awareness of sexual violence and the impact that their actions can have in re-traumatising somebody who has been a victim of the most heinous crime, and that they are never to blame for that crime and yet end up, like you will have heard and your listeners will have heard from that letter, where they feel further traumatised and further violated by the very actions of people afterwards.
Because she's the family are seeing, and the victim is seeing, that these prominent, I'm quoting, these prominent individuals in their relatively small town of Dingle are standing up to try to convince the judge, after he's been convicted of rape, that somehow or other his sentence should be mitigated because, quote, he was committed to the GAA, committed GAA player. Now, by the way, we've looked for references to Conor Quaid in all the regional papers over the last 11 years since we got this communication, and we can't find any reference to him playing at any level in the GAA. And the family, in fact, wrote to Cisiste Conte Cirí, the GAA board in Kerry, and about the fact that this testimonial had mentioned the GAA. And this is the sting of the reply from the GAA in Kerry. In this case, the individual who happens to be a member of the Dingle GAA club and has since become a member of the club executive exercised those rights in offering testimony on behalf of the defendant. As to the merits of the testament, that is a matter for the courts to decide, not the Dingle GAA Club. It is clear from our discussions with the senior officers of the Dingle Club that this submission was the individual's own personal submission. The question for the Dingle GAA Club and the wider GAA Association is, was this testament such that it brings the reputation of the Dingle GAA Club and the GAA itself into disrepute, and therefore justifies disciplinary charges being brought against that person? It is our clear view that such is not the case. While you and your family may find this view upsetting and disagreeable, please accept it as our genuine and honest view. And we stress it in no way condones or justifies the awful experience you and your family have been through. What do you think of that, Vera?
Yeah, well, I mean, on one hand, they're accepting that the family and the young woman in particular, you know, has gone through such a horrendous time. You know, to be a victim of a rape and to survive that and to work through the impact of it, to have the courage and the faith in our legal system to report it, because that's no easy journey to take, Joe, as you would know down through the years. You've had lots of victim survivors on. And to get to the stage where the jury believes her, which can be a huge part of healing for victims,
and
to be able to then, the hope of being able to move on, to have an opportunity to tell the court the impact of the crime and believe, you know, now the last part of the jigsaw puzzle is for this person to be sentenced. And thankfully, as I said, she did get a sentence that reflected the crime, but then for this to happen. You know, I really hope that the GAA, which is an organisation that has been named in this, you know, that they start accepting responsibility, because it isn't enough to pass the buck and say, this official did it as an independent person.
Yeah, but the other thing about this, Vera, as well, sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're okay.
This letter from the GAA in Kerry, they are saying, they're asking the question, was this testament such that it brings the reputation of the Dingle GAA Club and the GAA itself into disrepute and therefore justifies disciplinary charges being brought against this person? It is our clear view that this is not the case. They're judging the allegations against them. They're deciding, no, there's no foundation in the allegations. And while you and your family may find this view upsetting and disagreeable, please accept it as our genuine and honest view. That's obvious, isn't it? And we stress, there's no need to stress this, but we stress it in no way condones or justifies the awful experience you and your family have been through. Of course, who could condone or justify the experience of a young woman that's been violently raped and what her family? So I think the last line is a bit, it in no way condones or justifies. How could you? But then I go to the letter from the family and the communication from the family of the victim. I am getting a local publican has said he's the best employee ever. I'm getting panic attacks knowing that people who support the rapist publicly are living so close to me. I believe in this day and age that the local big boys club should not be allowed lodge testimonials in court. It is well known in the town that we have had an awful time coping over the last few years. We were very upset and appalled to hear two prominent businessmen from the town had lodged glowing references to try to reduce the sentence of the convicted rapist that shows no remorse. Now,
it's extremely bewildering.
It reminds me, sorry, Vera, will you remind people of the Listowel case?
Well, unfortunately, I think in Kerry we're going to be known for different incidents down through the years, and unfortunately the Listowel case, and now they, you know, people will start talking about the Dingle case, and I think, you know, I've been involved in this work for a long time, and it's, you know, today is a day where I actually feel quite flat about the attitudes that are still so prevalent in our society. But I suppose the other side of it, Joe, is, and not taking away from this case, we currently have a young woman doing a fundraiser for us. She's 20 years of age, she's got a beautiful head of long curly hair, and she's shaving it on our behalf. And the amount of young people who have contacted us and who are praising her, but she's starting a conversation in our society about sexual violence, about sexual harassment, about women and what they have to experience. Now, not taking away, we also know that men are victims, but she's starting that conversation. So on one hand, that's happening, so it's like a parallel universe nearly. And on the other hand, you have a young rape victim who was so courageous, who has now been left re-traumatised by the action of a few people who believed that it was acceptable to give a reference to somebody and to for that to be read out in the court, nearly saying, championing them for their behaviour and their work prior to committing this crime. So they're nearly treating the crime as an isolated incident that doesn't really warrant them to actually say that it's not good enough for somebody to behave like this.
And we're trying to get legal clearance on, we have the testimonials, and we have copies of the testimonials from the eight different organisations or individuals. Kerry's Eye have published a lot more than RT are able to publish at this stage. We hope to get clarification on it. But having read the testimonials, they are not one line, I can tell listeners, they are not one line testimonials saying we believe he's a lovely boy or whatever. They are detailed testimonials, for especially those from the local people. And I go back to the family of the rape victim saying it is very difficult. It was very difficult for us to come forward in a small town. It has been a very tough few years. So on the one hand, while nationally the victim, rightly so, is anonymous, she's saying everyone in where we live knows who the victim is. The rapist expressed no remorse. It's a very, very difficult one. Joe at RT, stay with us, Vera, please.
Okay.
Dominic Meehan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. You're on a WhatsApp. You're listening to this. Tell us your view, please, and the whole issue of character references.
Honestly, I think it's an absolutely disgusting show of all these organisations, the GAA, Retired Guard. It's a brutal way of showing how society treats rape survivors today.
And because I'm just trying to keep listeners with me in terms of there's only certain things we can't say. And listeners are putting the jigsaw together at this stage. But Dominic, you're reacting to the character reference from an unnamed retired guard as detective sergeant that was published in Kerry's Eye. That was the reference that he gave for Conor McQuaid, and the fact that Conor McQuaid is from a family. I think his father was a guard. Do you think a reference from a retired? Well, there's someone who identified Conor McQuaid, somebody who identifies himself as a retired detective sergeant. You think that adds weight to the hurt visited on this family?
It absolutely does, because say you or I gave a testimonial saying that this man could not possibly have done what is being accused, and then a guard comes up and says this man could not possibly have done. It has so much more weight than an ordinary layperson. It carries so much more authority, and this poor girl...
Dominic, people... hopefully remember the awful case where you were raped and you waived your anonymity to, and Keith Hearn of Tallaght he pleaded guilty to two counts of rape and other sexual offences as well, and one count of falsely imprisoning you, and he got 12 years in prison. Now you and we have to take into account, which is one of the things that Vera alluded to, the fact that this is a small town, the fact that the family are saying they know the people who gave the character references. The people who gave the character references know them, and other people in the town know who gave the character references for this rapist, which I presume makes it all the more difficult for the victim.
Absolutely.
OK, stay there, Dominic, please. Louise O'Keefe, people will know Louise, another campaigner, unfortunately, like Dominic, through an awful crime committed against them. Louise was abused in the early 1970s while she was a pupil. She was 8 years of age, by the way, in Dundero National School in West Cork, and she subsequently sued the Department of Education. Louise, you're familiar now with this case. What would you like to say, please?
Good afternoon, Joan. First and foremost, I would sincerely like to commend this girl in coming forward. And she hasn't had to come forward just once, but really and truly she's had to come forward a second time. Mm-hmm. She came forward first to report a case of violent sexual assault, which should never have been perpetrated upon her. And secondly, even though the accused was convicted, she had to come forward again, really and truly. And because of the fact that the case is now over, not on her own behalf, but on behalf of
other victims who are going to come forward in the future and to stand up for those in the sense of the character references that have been given in court.
And I just remind people, Louise, of this particular character reference as quoted in Kerry's Eye from the retired detective sergeant. And this is submitted after Conor Quaid of Monaree in Dingle in County Kerry was found guilty of rape. He said in this testimonial from the retired Detective Garda, I could not speak highly enough of Conor Quaid, and whatever happened on the night in question was totally out of character. I would stand by him now and going forward into the future.
My question to that retired detective sergeant would be, if what had happened to this young lady happened to your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, your sister, would you have given the same reference?
I'll give you another line from it, Louise, to our listeners, from the retired detective Garda. Detective Sergeant, I cannot speak highly enough about him and hope that whatever sentence the court imposes on him, that he can be assured of the support of his friends and family.
And where is the support for the young lady?
And that's why the family have contacted us, I presume, and that they feel now in a small town where these testimonials were submitted, and in part, the judge would have had access to them all, rightly so, but in part read out in court. And we're trying to determine if the documents submitted to court, but not all of them, they were summarised. And by the way, we don't know the location, just to be clear. We don't know the location of the retired Garda. OK, we don't know. That was not given.
To be perfectly honest, Joe, I don't care where that retired Garda is from. My question still remains the same. If it was his daughter, his granddaughter, his niece or sister, would he have written that reference? And I'm quite sure the answer would be no. And when people are writing references for going into court, they should ask themselves the questions and make sure they know the answers. Why am I writing a reference? Who am I writing it for? What are the consequences? And what were the prior consequences of why this is required? And if it's a case of, in this instance, the rape of a young woman, what sort of reference would I write if it was for my daughter, my sister, my granddaughter? And if you will not write a reference in the instance that something like this would have happened to a member of your own family, then don't write it.
And there's more.
It's simple. Do not write it.
Okay, stay with us, because Vera, it brings us back, and this is what people are phoning in about now, to a case in Listowel. Was it 2009?
It was.
Where
yeah.
there was testimonials, and also there was a queue, and the man was convicted of rape. There was a queue of people in court. They were queuing up to shake his hand. Back after this, Joe with RT.ie, 51551, wash your hands. That's the text number, and 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
There was a case in the criminal courts in Dublin last week. A Dingle man who raped a woman, a young woman, while she slept, was sentenced to 8 years in prison, and the last 18 months were suspended. He had pleaded not guilty, but he was found guilty by a jury, and then a number of testimonials on behalf of this man were handed in to the court. And as I said, he was the best employee in 25 years of business. This was completely another testimonial from a retired Garda. Now, this is the communication, the gist. We've had a lot of communication from the family, but I think this email clarifies and paraphrases exactly what the worries of the victim and their family, her family is.
Dear Joe, I wish to remain anonymous, but I do wish to speak about the rape case that is all over the papers. The rapist expressed no remorse. It was very difficult for us to come forward in a small town. It has been a very tough few years. We went to Dublin on Thursday for the sentencing. We thought that it would be an impact statement and a few references from the prison. We were very upset and appalled to hear two prominent businessmen from the town had lodged glowing references to try and reduce the sentence of the convicted rapist that shows no remorse. It is well known in the town that we have had an awful time coping the last few years. A local publican has said he is the best employee ever. I'm getting panic attacks, knowing that people who support the rapist publicly are living so close to me. I believe in this day and age that the local big boys club should not be allowed lodge testimonials in court.
And we have Vera O'Leary on the line, director of the Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre. Louise O'Keefe, who was a victim, as we know, and took a high profile and a courageous campaign against the Department of Education. She was abused in school. And Dominique Meehan, who was also another victim, again, has been campaigning and speaking out. And you've heard their outrage at these character references. Lorna is in Dingle. Lorna, your point, please.
My point is that one of the testimonials was given on behalf of the GAA.
Well, the GAA say it's not. And I just have to be clear about this. And I'm not... Sorry, Lorna, that sounded like I'm trying to pull you up on something. The Dingle GAA have decided, they say, the question for the Dingle GAA Club and the wider association is, was this testament such that it brings the reputation of the Dingle GAA and the GAA into disrepute and therefore justifies disciplinary charges being brought against that person who was a member of the GAA Club executive? And they say, it is our clear view that such is not the case. As to the merits of the testament, that is a matter for the court to decide, not the Dingle GAA. It is clear from our discussions with senior officers of the Dingle Club that this submission was the individual's own personal submission. So, and that's signed by Padder Twiss, who's Rooney Kishtikiri, Kuma Lucas Gale. But
I understand that my point is okay. That GAA is meant to be an inclusive group of not only men and women, but little girls and teenage girls. And to have a representative that is a part of the board of the GAA, whether he did it himself or on behalf of the GAA.
He didn't. The GAA are adamant he didn't.
On behalf of himself. Yeah. It means what message is it sending to little girls and teenagers that wear the same colours and that play on the teams for the same town? Mm-hmm. Is it saying that if you used to kick a football or are part of the GAA, that it's okay? What is it telling every father and mother that pays gate fees to watch their little girls play on behalf of a team that is a national game, that it's okay? If you used to kick a ball, it's okay. What are you telling the little boys that are also coming up to that club or any club in the country that it's okay and it's not okay?
Stay with us, Lorna. Joe at RT.ie. Geraldine, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. How are you? I just wanted to make one specific point, and that's around the using and the requesting and using character references in relation to these crimes. As far as I can see, the question is the behaviour of the perpetrator at the time of the rape or assault and the choice that he made at that time to violate another human being. It doesn't matter how well behaved he has been in the past. Yeah. You know, that good behaviour is not what's being looked at here. that good behaviour did not result in causing hurt and suffering in another person. So, as far as I'm concerned, to be just the whole aspect of looking for character references is totally archaic. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't belong with the system that's supposed to be just. And it, I think recently as well, there was another case highlighted that brought attention to certain practices within the justice system which do not in any way encourage and support women to report these crimes. And I think this is another example of that uphill struggle and another obstacle that women have to face over and over again. And like, it really is time that change needs to happen, and it needs to happen now. Like, survivors' voices, they need to be listened to, because they're the people who know what they're talking about. And they need to be listened to in order to transform the current system. I know there are some changes being made, mm-hmm. but it's so, so slow. Women are suffering while these changes are waiting to come on stream. And I mean, I think really when you think of it, like us women in Ireland, we are your mothers, we are your mm-hmm. daughters, your sisters, your wives. It's on all of us. It's on all of us, men and women, to support a system that supports and encourages women to report.
Yeah, Joe, if I can just say something following on, you know, all the speakers have been saying that, you know, it's so true. And I would just reach out to anybody, any survivor, victim of sexual violence out there today, reach out and get help. You know, it is the most appalling abuse, and many victims, unfortunately, feel they cannot come forward and report it. And I hope this won't put anybody off, because it's often because of fear, and often it's because, you know, they fear they're going to be traumatised. Again, if they seek justice through the courts, but just want them to let them know that we're working so hard in removing that fear at a national level. The minister is taking on, I know it's very slow, but I think anything in the justice system, in the legal process, can be very slow. But I just want to reassure anybody out there that they will be believed and supported if they come forward. You know, this is one isolated incident, unfortunately, that has happened again. But I also ask any organisation who believe that they are involved in giving a statement that has impacted on this young woman, that they can help her healing by now coming forward and clearly stating that any individual who's involved will be disciplined, and that they will have a very clear policy going forward that mm-hmm. nobody involved in their organisation can give a character reference, whether that person is involved in playing football or working in an organisation. It needs to be a very clear policy, because until we give a clear message that sexual violence is being seen as such a heinous crime, and that nobody is going to be supported through that, we will prevent people from coming forward.
I come back to this GAA letter, in that they don't investigate. They say they have, I suppose, but they don't say that. Like, who can say to a judge, I know he was involved in a local GAA club as an underage player, etc. Had always played the team extremely well, mentors, etc. Listened to and took advice. But who can say that except someone who was involved in the GAA? It's not someone who was on the sidelines watching it and saying, oh, he looks like a great little player. He looks like he takes advice. Oh, he looks like he obeys or follows his mentors. Or he looks like that he's committed. This is somebody who is saying, inter alia, that I know about this GAA club, and I know his role in this GAA club. But the GAA do not say that nobody is entitled. See, their argument is it was not submitted on behalf of the Dingle GAA club. Nor does it suggest in any way or form that it reflects the views of the club. Well, I must say, I am privy to the full statement that this man submitted. I'm not allowed to read it out at this stage. But I can tell you, it does give the impression, whether you like it or not, it does give the impression that this man who writes about this rapist's role in the GAA, that he knows what he's talking about. But anyway, that's not here.
Why would he write it if he didn't know what his role in the GAA club was at the beginning? Yeah. The GAA club would never have been mentioned in the document itself. he would have spoken from a personal point of view, like many of the others in Dingle did.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He chose to talk about the club. That is the problem.
Yeah, and thanks, just for Vera. But then you could argue these testimonials, because it's the judge who gets them after the jury found this man guilty in a 10-1 verdict. These testimonials have no bearing then. The judge can, which we believe, well, we did. So what is the hurt of them is on the victim, isn't it? Primarily,
yeah,
on their family.
As I clearly stated earlier, you know, that the thankfully victims cannot put in a victim impact statement. That's often the only time their voice can be heard, even though to me it's only a partial hearing, because they can only talk about the impact of the crime. I think that people are quite naive when they're putting in the character reference. Maybe years ago it might have influenced a judge, but thankfully today judges have an awful lot more awareness on sexual violence dynamics.
Yeah. Well, why? Would you be surprised to hear, Vera? Again, I'm looking at them. That, for example, the testimonial of one person is on his work letter heading.
Yeah, I think it's naivety. I think it's lack of understanding. It's a belief that this crime is not as serious. It's not even knowing the full details, possibly, of the crime. Not understanding the impact on the victim. They're just quite naive in their belief that this goes into a court. It's like going into a bottomless hole and it would just sit there. I mean, you know, for any of them to believe that they have the right or the ability to actually influence the outcome of a sentencing, it just, you know, it's quite arrogant.
And I go back to the testimony of the retired guard. Yes, Louise, is it? No, Dominique.
Dominique,
sorry, Dominique.
I was just wanting for your listeners to expand on the whole victim impact statement.
Yeah.
When I was writing my victim impact statement, it was purely what affected me with the crime. I wasn't allowed to write about how my parents were affected.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to write how my friends were affected.
Mm.
It's purely about me. So When we say it's a victim impact statement, it's just one person. Like, my parents were.
Yeah, that's correct, Dominique, and that's something that I think, you know, it has at least it gives some voice. I believe that guidelines, very similar to what a victim is allowed to put in the court, the guidelines for character references should be exactly the same. That you can only write about the actual offence, so that would actually prevent a lot of people putting forward character references. And I stated earlier, we're actually going to ask the minister to take. We're going to make a submission. The Rape Crisis Network Ireland, of which we're a member, is going to make a submission and looking for something like that.
And come back to Louise's point about. I'm very. This is one. It's only been dealt with in court a week ago, so we're very mindful again. And I'll play it again before the end of this segment to remind people of the effect that it's had on the victim and her family. But for example, the retired detective sergeant identifies himself. I am a retired detective sergeant. In his communication to the judge, that's what he says. He doesn't. It's not on Garda letter heading, obviously, but he does. Why would he put that in? I am a retired detective sergeant. He then, as I said earlier, he writes again. I can't read it all out because it was not all read into the court record. I cannot speak highly enough about him and hope that whatever sentence the court imposes on him, that he can be assured of the support of his friends and family. First of all, how would anyone know that? How can anyone say that he can be assured of the support of his friends and family? Are you speaking for all his friends? Are you speaking for all his family? That when he's convicted of the rape of a young woman, that this man who identifies himself as a retired detective sergeant in an Garda Síochána, he says he can be assured of the support. Did they have a meeting or something? Of all his friends and family, and to say if he's found guilty, we'll all stand by him. Okay, the testimonials, as I say, that we're allowed to read out at this stage, are from the court reporter Declan Brennan. Not anything else at this stage. I'm going to take another quick break. 51551, watch on.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I said it earlier, I'll say it again. The retired sergeant said he's not from Dingle, okay? Not from Dingle. And the case we're talking about is a man called Conor Quaid of Monaree in Dingle, who was sentenced to 8 years in prison after being found guilty of raping a young woman. And the last 18 months are suspended. The communication we've had, it's from the victim's family. And they point out they live in a small area. Let's do the letter again, just to bring people. It's a very short letter, but it's full of searing and substantial points.
Dear Joe, I wish to remain anonymous, but I do wish to speak about the rape case that is all over the papers. The rapist expressed no remorse. It was very difficult for us to come forward in a small town. It has been a very tough few years. We went to Dublin on Thursday for the sentencing. We thought that it would be an impact statement and a few references from the prison. We were very upset and appalled to hear two prominent businessmen from the town had lodged glowing references to try and reduce the sentence of the convicted rapist that shows no remorse. It is well known in the town that we have had an awful time coping the last few years. A local publican has said he is the best employee ever. I'm getting panic attacks, knowing that people who support the rapist publicly are living so close to me. I believe in this day and age that the local big boys club should not be allowed to lodge testimonials in court.
And that's from the family of the victim of that rape. Dominique, and indeed Louise. Dominique, what is it? This conviction was only last week. Have we any, apart from the horror that the victim is going through in terms of the crime committed against her, but the reaction afterwards, Dominique, what goes through your mind in the weeks after the court case?
I'm going to preface this with saying that my court case was quote unquote easy. Mm-hmm. Keith Hearn pled guilty.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go through a trial. There was no character witnesses for one. But I was elated for all of about 30 minutes. And then after I got the sentence, and it was 9 to 12 years. And then I realized that's not long enough. And this poor woman has only got 6.5 effectively. So within an hour, and this was before I even got to talk to the press outside the court, within an hour, I was back to being as depressed as I had been beforehand. Depressed and scared that he was going to be out and looking for me in 9 years. I can't imagine going back to a small town where everyone knows. I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. That woman is an absolute warrior. She is a hero. And, oh my God, so brave. I could not have done that. If Keith Hearn had been from Letterkenny, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah. Louise, in your own case, Leo Hickey, your assailant, he had two character references, did he not?
He actually had more, but two of the character references that he had in court.
And he pleaded guilty, it's worth reminding people.
He pleaded guilty, yes. Yeah. And there were 21 girls involved in the case. Yeah. But two of his character references were primary school principals. Mm-hmm. One was a retired primary school principal, and the other at the time was a serving principal, mm-hmm. both from the same school and both from the school where Leo Hickey had gone to after Dundurro National School. And so one was was in actual fact the principal at the time when Leo Hickey moved. And I will never forget thinking afterwards about the fact that here were two principals in charge of children coming in as character references for a man who was pleading guilty to sexually assaulting girls in school.
But it's worth, reminding ourselves, Louise, and our listeners, though I think it's clear, but just reminding that, what these character referees did is not illegal. That's the,
it's not illegal. But my thought at the time was these were two principals and they were in charge of school.
Okay. Well, we can, okay.
Now, and Louise, I was coming from where we
okay. And Louise, okay. I know you're...
Now, what I also need to point out, though, is that a number of years later, okay, Leo Hickey was also convicted of sexually abusing a school or a child in that school. So where were the character references when that child was later inside in court? Where were the character references then? These were two principals of Leo Hickey. They morally, it shouldn't be allowed.
Okay, but legally they were allowed to. That's my point.
Legally, and the same, they were the same. Allowed to do it.
But Louise, go back to the same question I asked Dominique. What is the... On the one hand, the man has been found guilty by a jury of his peers of committing the rape. He pleaded not guilty. So the And I know your case went on and you ended up in Europe, etc. But what is the victim going through today? Dominique said her elation on his sentence for her assailant who pleaded guilty lasted for about half an hour.
Well, I would honestly say that never happened for me.
Okay.
It never happened for me because instantly my awareness was this was a case of sexual abuse on children in school and here were two primary principals. It was all wrong in my eyes.
Okay.
It was all wrong. And being perfectly honest with you, when I was going home from court, I was physically sick. I had to pull over twice on the way home because I was physically sick over what had happened and what had happened in court. There was no elation. There was no, it was not at all. You know, and it just, we must remember why people will try and turn around and say that, oh, I was giving the character reference and I gave the character reference in a personal capacity. They're fooling themselves. They're fooling themselves. The retired detective Garda sergeant was asked for a reference because of his position. The vice chair of Dingle GAA was asked for a character reference because of his position.
I'm trying to clarify. I don't think he was vice chair at the time. Though he submitted his testimonial on his company's letterheading. So that was in it as well. But I don't think it's fair to say. Though we'd publish whatever we can publish on our website, which might clarify. But I do take your point
But the publican was asked for a reference because of his position. He wasn't, like, you won't hear of people who are asked to give a reference as in, you know, somebody who is, we say for argument's sake, a shop assistant. You could have somebody who's the lollipop lady. You could have somebody who is, you know, now I have utmost respect for all people. They all have their jobs. They all have their positions. But you will find that it is people who are in high positions. And as the lady put it in her letter, the big boys club. And they will give a reference and they will try to say they gave it in a personal capacity. but it is not in a personal capacity because they have been asked because of their position.
And also the publican's testimony, that was he said he's the best employee. So he's giving it as an employer, as his boss, is the best employee in 25 years of business. They didn't ask a fellow waiter or whatever in the pub or restaurant to supply a testimonial, we presume.
Yes. And that publican should also be aware that he has female customers.
He was very honest and the best employee I've had in my 20, I'm reading from Kerry's eye, in the 25 years of business. Other testimonials described him as courteous and hardworking. The offence was out of character and that they hoped that Quaid could move forward. And another man who knew Quaid personally spoke of his commitment to a local GAA club and the time he had taken care for of an elderly relative. Kay, good afternoon, Kay. You're a retired nurse.
Yes, I am, practice nurse for many, many years.
Which speaks firsthand. I'm saying that because it speaks to the point you want to make about seeing things firsthand.
Yes, because the girls who are violated, is what I'd call it, by sexual abuse, they're the ones who carry the awful weight. And the perpetrator walks off happy after his joyful experience. So I absolutely think there is no punishment bad enough for them. In Roman times, they cut the top of the penis and they called them the whistlers. And until we do
the point we're making today is about the upset of the family is the testimonials.
I abhor the testimonials because they weren't present at the time that this crime was perpetrated.
Okay, point made. Okay, thanks, Nikkei. Back after this. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
A reminder that nobody, including the family, are saying that these... They were men primarily who gave the testimonials for Conor Quaid from Dingle, that they did anything illegal. Just the family were upset about him. Don Moore is in Manchester in the UK and is a former detective, is how he introduced himself. Your point, please, Don.
Hello, Joe. Thanks for taking me call.
Yeah.
I was listening to the matter about the detective sergeant giving evidence on behalf of the convicted. He was retired, Now, I've been 30 years in the GMP over here, and I've never, ever known that before. In all the cases that I've heard about or involved in, but even the ones I know about where rape are involved or any very serious offences, I never heard a retired or a serving officer go and give a reference for the convicted person. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I think that Detective Sergeant, I don't know what he was thinking in his head, but he should have never have done that. And basically what he should have done is now apologise, to be honest with you, and sort of withdraw his remarks that he would do that. I hear that one contributor to your programme said, what happens if that was his sister or his wife or his daughter or whoever that happened to? He wouldn't be set well, the reference up for
do
that.
You, do you think that this... Now, remember, this is a retired person who apparently is not from the area, but do you think there should be a stipulation that that if you are giving a character reference for somebody, you should not refer to the fact that... What is the point of putting in the line, I am a retired detective sergeant in An Garda Síochána? That's exactly as Louise says. That's the reason... his testimony is there in the belief that that might carry more weight than others.
Yeah, but at some stage, when he's going to say that, he's going to have to really say what his previous occupation was. Otherwise, he'd be misleading, in my view, anyway, in that case. Why, he'd be more or less anonymous. because if he had to give his name anyway, and he would have to speak up where he came from or something like that, I'm sure he would have been identified that way anyway.
Okay. This retired guard, as he describes himself, retired detective sergeant, he does say that I'm aware that this man has been found guilty of rape.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. I know he's aware of that because he must have known that in the first place before he made his remark. Anyway, he must have known about the case from the beginning. And everybody obviously was on the news and everything like that. So he would have known about it.
Well, if the guard, already. if just put another way to you, Don, if and I know the regional police forces in the UK, but I'm sure there is an overarching federation, etc., and there is a Home Office. But if it was stipulated that a retired guard or a member of the force at any level was doing a testimonial, they should not be allowed to say, I was a member of an Garda Síochána.
Well, I'm not too sure what the answer is that is, but if you were a serving officer, either retired or serving, and you went and did a reference like that, it should have never happened, to be honest with you. Because he's putting himself in an awkward position. Now, he's going to take some flack for this, maybe, I should imagine. Have you seen a guard ring up and come to his defence?
No.
I don't think so, yeah. Have you? Nobody's rang up to say, well, he did this out of his conscience or something like that because the defender was treated unfairly or something.
Stay there, Don. I just want to concentrate that point for a sec with Louise O'Keefe. Louise, this whole thing of this man, in the second sentence, after he says, I'm aware that Conor Quaid was convicted of rape, the second sentence is, I am a retired detective sergeant in a Garda Síochána. Now, what is that saying in your head to the court, or, and sir, more importantly, sorry, to the victim?
Speaking as a victim, it is saying to me personally that the person giving that character reference is saying, yes, I know he's committed rape, but because of my position in the Garda force, with knowledge of crime, I am able to give this reference.
He knows.
Basically, you know, he's acknowledging a wrong done, but he's reinforcing his position of knowledge and that he has authority to speak on it.
And then he finishes later on in the testimony, or the testimonial, I cannot speak highly enough about him, Conor Quaid, and hope that whatever sentence the court imposes on him, that he can be assured of the support of his family and friends. Now, I've looked at one angle of that earlier on, but is that saying that I, as a retired detective sergeant, I will use my authority as a retired Garda to keep an eye on him, and I will try and keep him on the straight and narrow when he says that he can be assured of the support of his family and friends? That could mean that I'm going to support that family and trying to keep him on the straight and narrow, which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing if he said it. Why didn't he say it?
Okay.
If he's able to say, I know he was convicted, I am a retired Garda, I will give him support. He didn't say that. He said his family and his friends will give him support. He didn't say, I will.
Okay, good point. Okay, more coming in after this.
Neither did he say he was giving support to the victim.
Yeah.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
As I say, we've been contacted in detail by the family of the rape victim of Conor Quaid. This is Conor Quaid's name is in the public domain, from Monaree in Dingle. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison, the last 18 months suspended, when he was convicted by a jury of the rape of a young woman in Kerry 3 years ago. And Vera, another element that the family revealed is that we went to, I'm quoting, we went to Dublin on Thursday for the sentencing. We thought that it would be the impact statement, obviously from the victim, and a few references from the prison. Like, are you told in advance that there are going to be character references from A, B, C and D?
No, it often comes as a shock to the victims and their families. Because as you can understand, when somebody has gone through the trauma of a rape, that for them to go through the court, and which they can find is a very adversarial system that we have, and to go through all of that, and as I said earlier, to get out the other side where there has been a guilty conviction, then to actually feel, you can nearly breathe a little bit. But I know Dominique and Louise have spoken about it, you know, that doesn't take away the impact, it can last for many years. And unfortunately has been revisited now for this young woman because of what has been done. But it can be such a shock because you are not prepared for the fact that somebody's character is going to be nearly inflated in the court who's committed a heinous crime. So,
but are they submitted, insofar as you know, Vera, and I don't expect you to get a mass of so many questions, but are these testimonials submitted to the prosecution?
No, the victim doesn't see them beforehand.
I know it doesn't apply here. I'm sure.
My understanding, Joe, is no, the prosecution don't. They'd be submitted.
But how do
to the
I
judge.
Know? How do I know they're true?
Well, I mean, that would be up to the defence. Would ensure that they were coming from the person that they claimed to be. So
no, but how? Like, for example, we were able to. The family were able to question Kerry GAA. And Kerry GAA said, we've investigated. And the man who said he was a committed player and was great on the team and was a mentor and all this carry on, he wasn't speaking on behalf of the GAA. But the court was not to know that. Because
the court, but that's up to the GAA to speak to that individual involved.
But by the time that would have been revealed, the judge, who we know wasn't influenced by these testimonials, a judge could have been influenced by the testimonials.
Of course, Joe, and that's why, you know, as I stated earlier, we need to have guidelines in place for these character references. And the sooner the better, because it will hopefully then get rid of all this confusion and will prevent people, when they know there's very clear guidelines on them doing it, and everything has to be backed up, but also can only be about the crime. Not that somebody at the age of 10 was a wonderful young man who, young boy, and now at the age in 20s, commits a very serious crime, you know.
And as I said, we've searched. Now, it's not exhaustive, but if people can find a reference to Conor Quaid and show us a reference to Conor Quaid, he was described by one person on their letterheading who submitted their testimonial on their company letterheading as a they talked about his involvement in the GAA. We cannot find any reference to Conor Quaid and the GAA after 2009, when he would have been 13, I think. But that's if someone can find that reference, I'll gladly read it out for the difference it will make. So the family would not have known these character references were coming. They would not have been able to challenge them. They would not have been able to say, "Well, hang on, can we ring Dingle GAA and clarify who this person is speaking on behalf of?" John, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah. I've been listening to your discussion today, and I suppose I myself was the victim of a crime about 10 years ago, and I spoke to you at the time as well because it was around the time of the Listowel case.
Okay.
And in my case,
and the Listowel, just to remind people, the Listowel case was where the rapist was not only among his character references, one from a priest. And then again, submitted after he was found guilty. And then when he was found guilty, there was a queue in court of people queuing to go and shake his hand before he was taken down, as they say. Just to clarify that. So you were a victim of child abuse case.
That's right. And similar to that, the sentencing took place a different day to the actual court. So at the sentencing, I had in advance to submit my victim impact statement, but I didn't get to see character references. So I had to submit that a week or two in advance, and then when I went to court, or when I went to the sentencing, the colleagues of, because this was a school teacher, the colleagues of this school teacher lined up one after the other to give character references for their colleague who was now a convicted paedophile before his sentencing, including the headmaster. They had taken the morning off school to come down to the Dublin to the criminal court to actually line up and to give it. And it, I was listening to one of your contributors earlier. I felt exactly the same way, sick to my stomach, because you've gone through the trauma of the case, and it was traumatic. And then you're listening to colleagues, professional people, coming in one by one, telling almost in terms of have I done the right thing. And I genuinely think what should happen on reflection is that these things, the character references, should be published. It should be in the public domain who wrote them. And I think that anybody who gives a character reference for whether it's a rapist or whether it's a paedophile, anyone accused of a sexual crime, they should hang their head in shame.
But as I say, they've done nothing illegal. It is allowed. It is allowed.
But you're giving a reference for a convicted
rapist
or paedophile. And as somebody said earlier on, it doesn't matter whether they're great 90% of the time. They've been convicted of a very serious crime. And it's all backed in on the victim. And the other point I would quickly make is, at that time, the government talked about the changes they were going to make to the court system for victims of crimes like this, whether it's children, whether it's victims of rape, as adults. Nothing has happened, because we're still having the same conversations 10 years later.
Dominique's still there. I hope you are. Dominique, the impact of this woman, the victim, living in, we don't know where she lives, obviously, but lives in near Dingle. That's the inference in the letter from the family. What's that like, knowing the point they make about we know everyone in the town knows who we are?
Yeah. Well, when I'll put it this way, for 2 years, I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. So because of the case was ongoing, I couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah. Okay.
But afterwards, when I was in the paper and all that, everyone knew. It went from 0 to 11 in no seconds. So I had people coming up to me in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of them were supportive.
Yeah.
But I did get the occasional slur thrown at me.
My God.
But I can't imagine being in a small town and having to deal with people who believe the rapist over the victim. Like, I was in Dublin when I was attacked in Blanchardstown, and Keith Hearn was from Talla.
Yeah.
I will not go into Talla ever. My mum is from Dublin, but I will not go into Talla just in case someone knows me through him. Like, straight after I was, straight after the first court case, when he was remanded in custody, I was walking to Bosaris, and I thought someone was going to come up and punch me in the street. I was terrified, and he was remanded in custody.
Yeah,
like, there were, like, I had, I got to Bosaris and had to go straight down to the bathrooms and have a panic attack. Like, people think these panic attacks are just a little bit of shaking and can't breathe. I got so sick, and I missed my bus and was still waiting 2 hours later for my own bus. Panic attacks are debilitating. So when this lady is saying that she has panic attacks, She is debilitated.
She says. Okay. Dominic Meehan, thank you so much, Dominic, and Louise O'Keefe, likewise, Vera O'Leary, Kerry Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre, and above all, that family of the victim and the victim herself, who were so courageous in contacting us. The National 24-Hour Helpline, the Rape Crisis Centre, is 1-800-77-8888. 1-800-77-8888. Today's producer is Lisa Marie Berry, and Ray Darcy's next.